Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's summer challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for any ministry. And unfortunately, that's really true of Compassion Radio, too. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Now, even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to help make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us, and we need you to do it this month, this week, and even, yes, today. Thanks so much for all you've done in the past to help us reach out to the world through our great partnership projects, and for letting us bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends. And in advance, thank you so much for how you're going to stand with us this summer.
Today on Compassion Radio.
When we first learn about Ethiopia, that story in the New Testament with Philip and the Ethiopian that was traveling back from Jerusalem, and he came on back to Ethiopia after that encounter. He learned that the scripture was about Jesus, learned about salvation. He was subsequently baptized on the road there, and then came on back and began to spread it. Well, by 300 A.D., just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
When we take a look at creation, and we see millions of different species along with magnificent multicolored plants and trees, it becomes pretty obvious that God loves diversity. Well, recently, Bram connected with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. Brian says that God wants his church to reflect his love for diversity as well. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part two of this very timely and important conversation. Here's Bram.
What's the big difference for you now in the work that you do with Word of God than what you expected you would be doing by leaving your previous position?
Well, the primary thing is I don't do much with worship anymore at this church.
And that was your life.
That was my bread and butter. I mean, that's how you and I met, and Leanne and Sandy, and you know, we all started in that together, and it was missional, yes. But you of all people know that it was music at its core.
Yeah.
And that's what shaped my education and my skill set. It's what positioned me to become a worship pastor in some wonderful churches through the years. When I stepped away from that, I was not sure. Am I going to another church in worship or something totally different? And now we've got a phenomenal worship ministry here that was already in existence before I came. They didn't need another worship pastor, but they didn't have anything going in missions and outreach.
Yeah.
There was an understanding from the Word that it needed to be a strong component of the local congregation, but they just didn't have a facilitator at that time. When I came on board, after just a brief season of acclimation and getting to know everyone and really sharing my background and understanding the vision of the pastor and his wife, then we came across the realization that, okay, we think we know what we've stumbled across here, and that is that worship, which has been your bread and butter, is not anymore. This other thing that's been a fiber that's woven its way through your life's experiences from the time you were a teenager, that thing is now going to be raised up to become the primary. And all of those experiences that you've sort of tucked away through decades and decades of traveling and ministry and missions, that's all going to be pulled off the shelf and really put into action.
Yeah.
And that's what helped us to launch our global ministry.
And by global ministry, you mean that. This is the Word of God alive and well in Shreveport, Louisiana. You would have been perfectly within your rights to fulfill a God-sized vision for that city. Yet, God pulled together every culture and language group and race there in the city of Shreveport together for a missional purpose, and now it has focus. And you went first to Central America to get your feet wet, so to speak, bring people, get them involved with, and encountering the opportunities to really see what God's doing on the front lines of faith, as we say here at this ministry.
Yep.
And now you've reached out other ways to places across the world, and because you went farther, God expanded your faith farther. He expanded your resources farther. And now you are deeply involved with the church in East Africa, especially in Ethiopia. And I want to hear that story. So let's continue the story now about how you ended up focused on that part of the world and what happened when you did.
Absolutely. It's exciting to talk about because it's a real first century church feeling when you're there, when you're in the midst of what God is doing over there. You really feel like you're reliving the book of Acts in the New Testament.
Yeah.
I met about 12 years ago a dynamic Ethiopian pastor. He's a national. He's not an American transplant, but he's actually from the Tigray region, which is in the north of the country. It's a fairly rural area. It's not a stranger to violence from the neighboring countries which border along that area.
We're talking about northern Kenya and Ethiopia and Sudan all kind of commingle with a number of tribes through there.
Yep. All kind of mixed in there together. And there are about 6 million people that live in this region, and their native tongue is Tigrinyan. There is a national language in the whole of the country of Ethiopia, which is Amharic. And many people speak Amharic, but in the rural areas, which is what predominantly represent the Tigray region, many of those people, they've never gone to the city for formal education. They learn language and culture from their parents and their grandparents and their relatives. And they're all speaking this Tigrinyan language. There has not been a Bible translation in the Tigrinyan language for 1,500 years.
Now, Brian, was there a translation of it earlier in history, before the 1,500-year gap we're talking about?
There was not a translation specifically in Tigrinyan. There was an older language called Ge'ez, and it is what everyone spoke back then. But as we know, even in our own culture, you know, at one time, it was all about Latin, and then that has morphed into multiple languages, and very few people even speak Latin anymore.
Yeah.
But it laid the groundwork for what you and I are speaking right now, and many other dialects as well.
Okay, so we have this emergence of a new language. I assume it's kind of a pidgin or a pastiche of all the languages in the trade at the time, and it morphed very quickly.
Correct. Well, that's just it. It did. And, you know, sadly, they had access to the scriptures in Amharic, but in this rural area, not everyone understands that. And even many of the pastors who are traveling around ministering to those in their geographic zone to where they've been assigned, many of them couldn't even fully understand the translations that they did have access to.
Now, we've learned, Brian, talking with every Bible partner we've had around the world, how incredibly important and effective it is to get the Word of God into a heart language, which means the one that's most natively spoken from the time you can babble the word mama is the one that goes into your heart. It's just the first thing your brain locks into. And that learning multiple languages is incredibly useful, but the heart language is the one you pray to God with.
Yes.
It's the one that emotes and doesn't just think. And we know that our faith is a very emotional and involved and rational faith, but it also demands of us a huge investment of our person. And often a second or third language doesn't have quite the same depth of emotion that our heart language does.
Correct.
So you're saying that this language, these Tigrinyan speakers in the north part of Ethiopia, come to this by way of the language handed down from mothers and fathers to children over many centuries.
Exactly.
And it was the heart language of these tribes. It was and a pastiche and kind of a mixed mash of many other previous languages, not unlike Western Europe.
Correct.
So as they do that, they evolve out of what might have once been very useful to them in spreading the gospel. And now they're naked again in the world.
Yeah.
So the idea of being a people group that has been de-reached is an interesting concept. So now you're talking about this reality, 1,500-year gap, an unreached people now, requiring us to actually get the Word of God to them in their heart language again. So your pastor friend took on this task. Tell me what happened.
He did, along with three other clergymen that were very seasoned and experienced and highly trained. They went through the arduous process day and night for 10 straight years.
Wow.
Four guys in a room that's probably no larger than the office I'm in or the one that you're sitting in. They eventually got the translation finished. It was completed about 3 years ago. The New Testament came first, and it was completed about 7 years ago. And then they turned to the Old Testament, and it was completed about 3 years ago. So now the process has moved on to trying to secure funding and support to have the Bibles actually printed and then distributed to this people group. There are about 120,000 pastors that serve in this area. They are assigned...
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Okay.
In this part of Ethiopia, we think about there being 6 million people, maybe the size of South Carolina or something. You don't think about there being tens or hundreds of thousands of pastors that are already leading congregations that may not be all that in-depth in the Word, but they're there, like a latent army waiting for you to arm them.
Absolutely.
You're saying that that one people group has that many people in it that are worshipers?
They do. They're an extremely religious group. When we first learn about Ethiopia, that story in the New Testament with Philip and the Ethiopian that was traveling back from Jerusalem. He came on back to Ethiopia after that encounter. He learned that the scripture was about Jesus, and he learned about salvation. He was subsequently baptized on the road there, and then came on back and began to spread it. Well, by 300 AD, just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
By 300 A.D., just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
And we're talking more than 150 years before Constantine did the same thing in the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is about 350 to 375 AD when this happens, and he appoints the first patriarch to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which has been in full function ever since that day in that country. There's never been a time where it was taken out of functionality. The problem has been that the tribal nature of this country and many other countries, as we've already said, the communication and the language, it morphs over time. It changes. And so there is a tremendous core passion and devotion in the hearts of the people to love God and to serve God and to relate to God. But because their languages have morphed and the translations in those heart languages have not kept up with the metamorphosis of the languages themselves, they're left without the best tool that any of us have to know how to connect to God, and that is His Word.
Or to preach from it effectively with words that mean something to the people you're saying them to.
Absolutely.
If we were stuck having to speak every day in King Jamesese, we would be able to read the King James Version without much difficulty. Now, most modern readers have a difficult time with the original King James. It's had to be modernized. Even that one, at the gold standard of language in English was the King James Bible.
Correct.
And yet it still has to be put to the test to see, are people comprehending what it says?
Yes.
And hence we have this wealth of translations that try to make it more perfect for communicating, not perfect in its substance, but perfectly suited to reach the people of each generation. So we have many, many translations in English. Now, even looking back on letters that are written to our grandfathers and grandmothers, might seem very archaic and strange to us if we would read the way they wrote to each other even 50 years ago.
Yes.
You have to have a cultural interpreter.
Yeah, right.
So now they've taken on this task. My guess is that your pastor friends are taking on the task not just of learning how to make English sound better in their language, but to learn the heart language of the authors of the Word of God, too, which means they have to go deeply into understanding the languages from which they are translating, which includes the Septuagint Greek, the Latin Vulgate, and the Aramaic, and the Street Greek, and things that were written in the epistles, and getting familiarized with them directly from that language to their heart language and not having to go through many intermediaries, which can muddle things.
That's right.
But they got it done.
They got it done, and they did utilize all of those resources that you just articulated. I went not every year, but every so often I would go and see them in process just to encourage and to see where things were, and they would have every resource you can imagine strewn out all over the office so that they could extrapolate what was the original intent of the author. Obviously, God is the author through the Holy Spirit, but he inspired men to write it down. And culturally, grammatically, what was the original intent that God was trying to say to his people through the writers of the Bible at that time? And how do we preserve that original intent into our heart language?
Yeah, and they did a great job at it from what I've heard. Now, let's move on to the application of that. You mentioned earlier that there are 120,000 pastors in a old, ancient denomination doing their very best to serve God with the knowledge they have. And now this effort's been taken to bring revival to the people and the pastors through a revision and a freshening of the communication, the voice of the entire Testament of Scripture. It's now available to them. And you've had the personal privilege of seeing what happens when pastors encounter this fresh Bible. Tell me about that.
It's been such a powerful experience, Bram. And I just returned with a team from our church here several weeks ago. Among the other many things that we were able to be a part of in ministry there, we were able to go visit one particular church that had been in existence for 1,600 years.
One church.
One church. It was hewn out of a rock, a massive rock in the side of a mountain. They didn't have building materials maybe like we would think of to build a building. And so they took what they had
and took it out.
They cut away everything that wasn't a part of their church. And what was left was this rock church that's literally 1,600 years old.
Wow.
Laid out very much like the instructions that are given in the Old Testament about how the tabernacle was to be laid out. So we know that they were following those writings from the Old Testament that Ethiopian brought back in order to construct the church.
A stone tabernacle.
Yeah. Serving in that church was a pastor who was 70 years old, and he had been serving the church since he was 15. So 55 years, which is about our age, me and you. Imagine going your entire life attempting to be a pastor, being responsible for the spiritual nature of those congregation members that are coming, but you don't have the textbook. You don't have the Bible. You're going on your memory of what you were taught by your mentors, maybe by other seasoned family members of the faith, and you're trying to remember all that and regurgitate all that and help people understand it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we were able to present to him in that church, in the midst of that structure that was his church, a full copy, Old Testament and New, of the Bible in the Tigrinyan language, which is his heart language. And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences, I suppose, that I've ever been a part of. Because the core of everything that is kingdom comes from acting out the Word. And if you don't have access to the Word of God in a language that you fully understand and can process, then you're never going to fully be able to accomplish the kingdom work that the Bible's talking about. And so now that these pastors are beginning to get their copy, there are about 60,000 pastors who have received a copy already.
So,
about halfway there, our church recently did a campaign which generated funding for another 20,000 Bibles to be printed. So,
okay, full stop there, friend.
Full stop.
120,000 pastors. Now, again, these are just the leads of each of these congregations. We're not talking about every believer in northern Ethiopia. We are talking about
Correct.
The people that serve them.
Correct.
So at least them receiving a Bible is halfway there. Now, we have the same experience in other parts of the world where our focus is to get the influencers, the people that are serving the most, the best quality copies of the Word of God we can as soon as possible. And the church, of course, exponentially explodes when the Word of God gets loose like that, and especially when it's in good hands, people that respect
Yes.
it and can teach well from it and understand what the real meaning is and don't get confused by it, and help others to grow up and mature in their faith. It's a marvelous thing. Now, you are one church there in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you made the commitment to reach a good quarter of the entire population of North Ethiopia with the Word of God because of your giving locally, and you commended to your people the goal of raising up 20,000 Bibles to give this year, or in the recent history here. That's a pretty impressive goal, especially when you talk about the cost involved. That's $100,000. You mentioned it was like $5 a Bible before. Your congregation Yep. committed to raise that much money for one project in that country?
They did, and the money was received in a three-week time frame.
Wow.
That's how passionately they embraced the project. Now, bear in mind the name of our church, Word of God Ministry.
Here you go.
So clearly, clearly, anything that we can do that
advances
gets
the Word of
the
God.
Word out, it advances the Word. It goes to the very heartbeat of this congregation and ultimately to the pastor and his wife and their vision, which led them to start the ministry about 22 years ago. Bear in mind, you and I have been a part of churches that have been in existence for hundreds of years and have been actively involved in fulfilling the Great Commission for decades.
Agreed.
This is a church that has only had a strategic and formalized mission ministry for 3 years. This is not a church that was founded in, you know, 1912 and has been growing and establishing a missional tone for over 100 years. This is a church that's really been just getting acclimated to this for the last 3 to 3.5 years. And now we see such overwhelming response to chip away at 60,000 left.
Right.
Now we're down to 40,000
yeah.
because the campaign that we just concluded will get another 20,000.
And this sounds to me, Brian, very much like a New Testament kind of scenario because a congregation gets so empowered and so inspired by the Holy Spirit and the stories and testimonies coming back from the front lines that they can't help but give their all. Now, the original church in Jerusalem, as far as we know, pretty much every one of the original apostles went somewhere. Some were killed early.
Correct.
Others lived very long lives, but all of them got sent out. When you have a church where everybody who's been inspired by the Holy Spirit moves to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping it. The world's your oyster. And your congregation is treating it as if we are the only ones left standing on the planet. We will never stop. And I believe that's the kind of motivation that literally wells up as a wellspring within you because of the Holy Spirit. So again, I want to celebrate that as a testimony of God's work in you, because if God's working through you to do what he wants done, he's there and he's happy. I sense that the blessing is upon you for the season, and especially now that he's empowering you and giving you resources to tackle big things. I believe
right.
proportionally that same story can be told of every family, every individual, every congregation in this country. There are people hearing this program in pretty much all the lower 48 states and Alaska. They are hearing this story thinking, how could that light burn brightly where I am? What would your advice be to the individual who's just somebody who's going to church every Sunday trying to be faithful? What would you tell them right now is the key to seeing that kind of missionary revival happen where they are?
You know, I think we just have to remind ourselves of the pattern that Jesus modeled for us when he was here.
We'll hear more of this conversation tomorrow right here on Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.